Hey folks, I want to remind you that the Turning Point Action People's Conference is coming up this June 14th to 16th in Detroit, Michigan. Get your tickets and then go to unhumansbook.com to come to a special meet and greet for the launch party of the Unhumans book with myself and Joshua Lysak. I'll see you there in Detroit.
What happens when the fourth turning meets fifth generation warfare?
A commentator, international social media sensation, and former Navy intelligence veteran.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Deliver us from evil.
Before any testimony, the judge held Donald Trump in contempt, this time for violating the gag order with a statement he made about the jury, implying it's not fair. The judge fined Trump $1,000, but he said these fines don't appear to be working, and he threatened to throw Trump in jail.
There is significant softness in the support for Joe Biden among core Democrats. In this poll, he's carrying black voters by 61 points. Well, that sounds like a lot, but he carried them by 84 points back in 2020. Latino voters, a very slight Biden edge in this poll, but it was a 21-point advantage in the exit polls back in 2020. And among younger voters under 30, we're actually seeing Trump with a slight edge. That was a big win for Biden last time around.
The Israeli army has told Palestinians to begin evacuating a part of the city of Rafah in the Gaza Strip along the border with Egypt. Military experts say this signals that a ground invasion is imminent this morning.
Columbia University has announced it will cancel its wider commencement activities in the wake of pro-Palestinian protests sweeping the nation. This comes after one person was arrested at Northeastern University's commencement ceremony as students there waved Palestinian flags and banners during graduation at Fenway Park.
At DePaul University, dueling protests as pro-Israeli counter-protesters met with pro-Palestinian demonstrators, dozens of officers lining the divide between both sides. During the University of Michigan's graduation, dozens of students disrupting commencement ceremonies, waving Palestinian flags.
Now it just came out, Columbia just canceled their commencement, Axios. Columbia just canceled their commencement. That shouldn't happen. And it also came out that the protesters, many of the protesters, are backed by Biden's donors. Okay, are you listening, Israel? I hope you're listening, Israel. Hope you're getting smart. But they're backed by Biden donors. That's where the money's coming from. And I'm not surprised at all.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard today's edition of Human Events Daily, live Washington, D.C. Today is May 6, 2024, Anno Domini. President Trump, just moments ago, has been found in contempt of court yet again, fined another $1,000. In fact, for a statement that he gave in an interview with John Frednings here on Real America's Voice. We're going to get that clip for you in a little bit from the interview. Essentially, he made a statement about the jury, and they decided that that was in contempt. Again, folks, you need to understand, we're living in a country right now where the leading candidate for the presidency of the United States has been removed from the campaign trail by state force. And yet people don't seem to see that. And I want to talk about this tweet thread, actually, that I saw. And it gets us to our theme today. It's called the Hidden Trump Shift. Because all of this insanity, from the campus to the mismanagement of our government to what's being done to President Trump, is creating a hidden Trump shift. And this is from a former CNN international reporter. Here's what she said.
A few weeks ago, I had dinner with a couple friends. Friends of friends, all American. We were well-educated and successful in careers. They seemed great on the surface for like an hour, but slowly over a few drinks, they began to let slip their true MAGA natures. One of the couples each attended top Ivy League colleges, but now that it was university time for their own kids, they were adamantly not letting them apply to any Ivies and were weird about explaining why, though the kids were double legacies. Okay, moving on. The next crew suddenly busted out with air quotes when mentioning climate change. Again, these are otherwise smart people, not scientists clearly, but educated. And the dude took seething umbrage when my friend mentioned the damage Trump had done and vowed to continue to do. The others, when they realized that a few in their presence came armed with gasp, actual facts, no, quickly changed the subject and nervously said they didn't want to talk politics. They realized they would be eviscerated on all idiotic points, especially on the economy. As it went on, my friends and I realized we were surrounded by otherwise carefully closeted maggots. It's funny how the extremist or just wrong beliefs can help leak out, even when you least expect them and when people least expect they're out there. The dinner continues to haunt me. They all seem so normal. When I asked the couple who were my old friends how they didn't know, they said that in their upscale Florida neighborhood, people are extremely careful never to broach or debate the subject. This is not healthy. If people don't ever talk about these things as friends and neighbors and only live in their own warped information silos, how will they ever learn what is true or false? How will the truth ever make them consider alternatives? The allure of BS is co-opting decent minds. Here's what's interesting. Is the allure of BS and the information silo you yourself? Be right back. Rich Barris joins us. Tells a story of secrets and a mystery. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best ways that you can support us here at Human Events and the work that we do is subscribing to us on our Rumble channel. Make sure you're subscribed. You hit the notifications so you'll never miss a clip. You'll never miss a new live episode, and we're putting them out every single day of the week.
Now they talk about influencers. These are influencers, and they're friends of mine. Jack Posobiec. Where's Jack? Jack? He's done a great job.
Got a couple of questions for you folks. How do you survive a communist apocalypse? Well, first, you would watch Human Events Daily every day. Check. Follow Poso on X. Check. Pre-order Unhumans. Check. But there's one thing that you're forgetting, and it could make the biggest difference in your future and your family's financial future, and that's checking out today's episode sponsor, Allegiance Gold. Since 2020, Bidenomics has obliterated the American economy. Imagine what four more years will do to interest rates, debt, and labor disputes. You need something stable so that you can take a breath and know the money you earned and the retirement you work for is safe. You have to proactively protect your assets so that when the supply chains get rocked and Biden decides to print a few more trillion-dollar bills, it won't impact your family's bottom line. And with the only way to do that is with the one true beacon of stability that so many patriots use to preserve their wealth, and that, my friends, is gold. Over the last 5 years, it's almost doubled in value, and with the way things are looking, the sky is the limit. Allegiance Gold has done things the right way from the beginning, so it's no coincidence that they've earned the highest trust ratings in the precious metals industry, 5 stars with TrustLink and an A+ with a Better Business Bureau. Allegiance Gold can protect your IRA or 401k with physical gold and silver, or you can have it delivered securely to your doorstop. Get up to $5,000 in free silver on a qualifying investment when you go to protecttheposo.com or call 844-577-POSO. Don't risk your financial future betting against these forces. Act today. Protectwithposo.com. That's protectwithposo.com or call 844-577-POSO. So I want to talk about this, and this is really going to be the theme of today's entire show. This idea that there is a hidden Trump shift and that the media is completely caught in shock because they haven't seen it coming. This is particularly with former Biden voters. This is with people who Joshua Lysak, the co-author of Unhumans, has been referring to as NPR Americans. It's a great comment there. And it's even something where people who are coming from sort of the non-Trump background. So the traditional Trump voter, your basic Trump voter, you're sort of like, you know, dyed in the wool Trump voter is going to be working class America. It's going to be Midwest. It's going to be someone potentially in the Rust Belt. A lot of veterans, of course, are Trump supporters, myself included, by the way. But now, all of a sudden, and I would say there is a confluence of issues that have created this situation whereby in we have the mismanagement of the country. We have the insanity breaking out on campus. We have all of this craziness going on at the foreign affairs level. Wars breaking out all over the place. And all of a sudden, people are looking back going, you know what? Kind of feels like Trump wasn't so bad after all. And in fact, more people are willing now to speak out about it. Plus, you've got these crazy,
courtroom trials where they're putting this guy up and they can't even define exactly what the crime is. They can say, oh, you know, he did this, and they're claiming he had an affair, even though they can't substantiate it. And the person who was on the other end of the affair has already admitted that it wasn't true. And there's all this stuff that's going on. And yet people are looking at this going, wait a minute. We just want a country that isn't going to be flushed down the tubes, basically. And he's starting to cut into these demographics. This is something where I completely, now, I'm sure, by the way, that most of what that journalist wrote and I read just a minute ago isn't entirely true about what said. You know, suddenly we got to her with the facts of the matter. Yeah, sure you did, yeah. But, and everybody clapped, right? Everyone around the table clapped and they all ran away. Sure. But what I think is true is that she's realizing that some of her friends actually are Trump supporters. They are highly educated, and this is something that's going on across the country. And so, in order to understand the latest numbers and the latest public opinion, who else do we go to than the People's Pundit, Rich Barris? Rich, what's going on, man?
Living the dream, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing really well because I'm looking at this, and I know you caught some of what I was saying there, and yeah. There's this CNN, former CNN, she's like the senior international correspondent, White House, Michelle Kaminsky, and she's looking at all this going, wait a minute, how is it that people who went to the Ivy League, who are highly educated and are extremely, well educated and are doing well in their careers, and those type of people support Trump? Rich, is there a shift that's actually going on in of people? And this is what's key here. This isn't the no propensity voters that you and I have been talking about. This isn't even the Rust Belt or the working class. These are non-traditional Trump blocks here that are now shifting to the president. I'm not saying that there's like, you know, this. I'm not saying it's like 100% or anything like this, but you are starting to see it. You're starting to see the numbers move. And I've got the ABC poll and some others, but I want to ask you, in your work, have you seen the numbers shifting in this direction at all?
Yeah, it looks a little bit like 2022's House generic ballot, where advanced degrees, you know, they're not 70-30 anymore, 65, 66, 33, something like that. They're much closer, and Biden leads with them, Jack, but it's more like, you know, 56 to 40, you know, so we are seeing that. And we saw that in 22 as well, which turned out to be the case that turned out to actually happen. And that's why Republicans did win the popular House vote. Look, I think it comes down to this. We just polled and we're going to poll it again soon. We're getting ready to. But a couple of weeks ago when we looked at Michigan, it was interesting because it was more than just the working class that's in the Detroit and greater Detroit area, right? It's more than just Macomb and Monroe and parts of northern Wayne. It wasn't just that. It was parts of Oakland, which Biden thumped Trump in last time, 16 points. It was only single-digit lead for Biden at that point. And why? What was there coming from? There were professional class people who were, I would say, secondary, tertiary, you know, level, reliant on the auto industry, who were saying, you know what? This is going to affect us too. So things were more secure under Donald Trump than Joe Biden. You know, you can take those electric cars and stick them, you know, so everywhere is different. But I think that generally speaking, look, Jack, you can only go on so long with the 38% approval rating, 40% approval rating, and with, you know, 28% approval rating on inflation. There was this sense that inflation was getting better, and now it's getting red hot again. I mean, people are going to get fatigue over this, brother. That, and rich people get scared by political persecutions, okay? They get afraid. They get scared more than people may realize and understand, because they're the ones who have things to lose.
Well, and speaking of things to lose, Rich, so there's something that Biden has put himself in, and it's this huge catch-22 where he's boxed himself in, because he's lost the entire far left wing in the state of Michigan, by the way, is a state that he absolutely needs.
Yeah.
So he's lost a lot of that over his Israel stance, by standing with Israel, he's made sort of like mealy mouth statements now ever since the polling came back. But it's clear that these people are no longer for him anymore. And so this is the flip side of it that people are missing. In order to try to win back some of those votes, what he's doing now, and particularly with younger voters, he's trying to throw out what I call blue meat. He's trying to throw out these far of the far left policies, completely radical, to try to capture those back in. What are some of the ones that we are hearing now? Taxes on the wealthy, 44% capital gains tax. And I'm telling you, just as you said, for the people who have something to lose, you know, we had Tanya Tay here on the other day, and she completely, you know, someone who barely talks about, you know, economic issues, usually talking about like kids and nutrition and stuff. She was going off on this one. She was saying, whoa, wait a minute. I came to this country with like $100 in my pocket. And now all of a sudden, 44%, if I want to sell something of what I earned, is now going to go to the federal government. That's crazy. And so what Biden has done is, in order to try to win back some of those votes, he's actually losing some of the votes that were already in his pocket.
And same thing goes with the student loan issue, Jack, right? Yeah, you made the young people mad. You promised them that you would give them student loan debt relief. The first plan didn't work. So now the second plan is really only to fully fully shaft those people who may have had debt at one point on their own. They paid it off, or maybe they're successful now. They're in an upper income bracket. They have an education, and they're almost done paying theirs off. They will not qualify under Biden's plan yet. They're still going to have to pay off the people who didn't, make a smart, wise investment, Jack, and they're not paying off their loans. So if you're somebody who was responsible and then you're succeeding, it's a bit unfair to you that you have to pay off somebody else who took loans that they really never had any way to pay back and haven't really made a good faith effort to do so. Because let's be real, there are a lot of them. And that angers upper income, you know, people. It's like the old school wing of the Republican Party that now has shifted Democrat. Those are the kind of things that they don't like.
Yeah, there's something where, I'll put it this way, I think that's a tough issue because, and I say this as someone who, you know, I don't like to kind of wear the millennial hat, but I will at least be a representative here. I think in a lot of these indications, in a lot of these instances, you had colleges that were preying on students. You had the global financial crisis and being told, oh, just go into college, take on more debt, you'll be fine, you'll come out the other end, you'll be more competitive, it'll be great. And I remember I had friends who did this, I'm sure you did too, who did this in the mid-2000s and came out and were left holding the bag, who were absolutely holding the bag because the jobs never materialized and the people who bought houses before the market fell out under them, I mean, just... It's bad. It's actually really, really bad. Come back on the break, right after the break, because we're going to stick on this, the shift to Trump that's happening at the upper middle class level that no one is talking about. Stay tuned.
Good, I rolled with Bloods, and them boys had a saying. You can't be listening to all that slappy whack, trimatazole, it's a bam ship, nippy bam bam, like Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live, Human Events Daily. Folks, the world is in flames and Bidenomics is a complete and total disaster. But it cannot and it will not ruin my day. Do you know why? That's because I start my day with a hot America First cup of Blackout Coffee. This coffee is 100% Americana. Blackout Coffee is 100% committed to conservative values, from sourcing to beans to the roasting process. Customer support and shipping, they embody true American values and accept no compromise on taste or quality. Look, just got back from overseas a couple of days ago. How did I get over my jet lag? Got over it with Blackout Coffee. You can get over that too. You can energize yourself, power your family, power your life, power your business. Blackoutcoffee.com/poso. Use promo code POSO20 for 20% off your first order. We know Mother's Day is coming up very soon. It's never too soon to give mom and those close to your heart the gift of being awake, not woke, with Blackout Coffee. Blackoutcoffee.com/poso. That's blackoutcoffee.com/poso. Promo code POSO20. Okay, Rich Bowers, we're back up now. So, Rich, I want to stick on this for a minute, this shift. And I'm not saying that it's like a surge. I'm not saying that it's a huge, like a tidal wave or anything like that. But this is a key demographic for Democrats, because you got a lot of Democrats running around out there saying, oh, don't worry about race anymore. Education is the line. Education is the line we need. And I get what they're saying in terms of that. But they're also missing the fact that there are tons of lower educated voters in sure. cities that vote for Democrats, and huge voting blocks of Democrats that are for this. But now suddenly there is this edge, and I think it's a thread that's starting to wound its way around in the election and get tighter and tighter, of upper middle class voters that are switching to Trump. It's quiet, but it's happening. Some are switching to RFK too, by the way. I'll also throw that out, because I think that's equally going on. But the stuff that's happening on these campuses right now, who does that affect? That affects alumni. That affects people who would be potential donors, people who have enough disposable income to say, wait a minute, I'm going to cut off my donations because I don't like this. This is repugnant. This is ridiculous. It's disgusting. I don't want to see, regardless of what people's feelings necessarily might be on the Palestine conflict and Israel, it's just they don't like what they see and they're turning against it viscerally. Are you seeing any of that? Do you think that, you know, this is kind of my other theory, is that this is leading people to be turned off to Biden?
Yeah, I have a personal thing I'm going to actually share before I do, though. Let me just preface it with saying, I should have said this last segment. Okay. If you are somebody who is, I don't want to say wealthy, but you're doing good, you make decent money, but you don't have an advanced degree, you can be one of the most Trumpy demographics out there. And a lot of that, there's a lot of swing voters within that demographic as well. It can kind of go either way. And they're very, very susceptible to economic arguments. And Trump just dominates with that. So that's something to watch too. They live in upper class neighborhoods. They're not, Ivy League educated, but they're doing well, you know. And if they're a pull yourself up by the bootstrap kind of voter, kind of person, then you're going to be pretty Trumpy at this point. And that's going to be one of the first to switch. The second thing I want to say is, and I was going to, I was telling you on the break, but I'll just say it. I'll just come out and say it's me. I give to my alma mater, annually. We try to anyway. I'm not that I'm a rich guy here. I'm not, but we try to be generous. They actually called me, and it was like a smooth over call. You know, hey, we're just checking in on you, making sure everything's okay. What they wanted to know was whether or not I was pleased with how they handled those Palestinian protests. And my alma mater made the news. I mean, this is one of those colleges that was, in the news last week consistently. You know, statement from the head of the school, everything, you know. So that was interesting. That goes to show you that even they're aware on how that issue can affect demographics like me. I'm educated, you know, I'm in a certain income bracket. You would think I'm a Democrat, frankly, you know. So they were calling to make sure that I was cool with this, and not that they expected me to be pro-Palestinian. I don't think that's what the call was at all. I think they were making sure I knew that they handled business. You know what I mean? I really do.
So you've got the, so that, look, if these guys are out there putting out the donor calls, putting out the calls to potential donors and current donors, then that means they've already seen a shift, because they're getting phone calls the other
way.
They're getting response signal, getting calls saying either I'm cutting off my donations or threatening to cut off donations because of what they see.
Jack, it was the woman I have spoken to about our contributions for 2 years in a row. Sometimes it changes, but this has been the same woman now for 2 years that calls, usually around the holidays. Hey, how you been? And it's, why do we do it? It's like, hey, look, we were good. The school was good to you. Help us be good to another student who was in your position, So that's why we do what we do. And we have a person that is kind of like an account manager, that's her job, is to fundraise and to call people that they think are doing well enough that they can ask them for some coin. And that's who I got the call from. So, it was like a, hey, Rich, how you doing kind of call. So it wasn't even a cold call. They're getting calls saying, handle this right or I'm pulling the plug. And I'm telling you, that's telling. That's very, very telling. And they did handle it well, by the way. I'll just say that. They did.
And look, we are in, again, folks, we're in a marginal election. Why does this stuff worry? Is this just like administrivia? Is this marginal? guess what? You're in a marginal election. Where the whole thing hinges. And by the way, so this is the big shift, and Bannon was talking about it this morning on War Room. It's like the whole media and Axios and USA Today are suddenly going out, and they're like, did you know that it turns out the entire election is only going to be decided by just six states? And in fact, it's only about 6% in those six states that's going to make the difference. And I'm like, wow, if you had just listened to Rich Barris and Human Events Daily for, I don't know, the past year that we've been banging this drum again and again. And we've got a graphic up, if we could show it to everybody. They're like, oh, these are the states that'll sway. And I'm like, this is what, did you guys, we talk about it literally every single week. We've been saying it, but all of a sudden they're waking up. So Rich, what is it? What's the signal in the data that finally was like the, you know, the bat signal that just turned these guys on to make them finally start talking about it? I honestly, it seems to me like they're actually worried about Joe Biden for the first time.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, not an original thought in these people's heads. It really isn't. I mean, Jack, I mean, these people cannot generate an original thought. They're not critical thinkers, and that's a shame. But that's the way speaking of academia, that's what our institutions are pushing these days. Look, I think it really comes down to this. There are only a few demographics in this country that have been shifting to the left, while even though Republicans have done underperformed or even done poorly in elections they thought they would do better in, there are still only a handful of demographics that really are long-term or mid to long-term have been trending Democratic. And if there is any resistance or arresting in that trend, we're talking about three. We're talking about really three demographics. And if there's any resistance or resting in the trends of any of those three, that's a real problem, because there's no sign of the other trends that are in the Republicans' favor. There's no sign of them slowing. Look at the Pew Research poll that just came out. It's like Rich Barris, the People's Pundit and Big Data poll, could release results for 2 years showing this trend with Hispanics. They won't care. But once they watch, you know, put Pew Research, it's like their gold standard. Once they see that, they know they're in trouble. They care. They listen. All right. So it's only 4 points with Hispanics. Uh-oh. I should have been paying attention. And by the way, look at the white vote. That margin can't be achieved unless you recovered at least some of your educated vote that you lost. So, you know, instead of it being, again, 65-35, 70-30, it's looking more like a, 57-40, 50. And like you said, these elections are decided on the margin in this country. And if you're at, you know, if you're closer to 40, with those who have a college degree or an advanced degree, then 33, you're in much better shape. It's only 17%, but God, I'll take the 40% of 17 over 33 any day of the week. Gives you more, just gives you more. The name of the game is addition, not subtraction.
Well, that's exactly right. And it's what Trump's campaign is doing. This is why he's going to F1. This is why he's going, you know, the Formula One race. This is why he's going to the UFC fights. This is why he's going, you're going to see him at boxing. You're probably going to see him at this, what Jake Paul's fighting Mike Tyson. I'm sure Trump, I would be shocked if Trump isn't there. If he isn't, it's only because of like some court schedule or something like that. He's going out to these voters again and again to let people know that I'm the people's guy. I'm the one who stands with them. And then it's incumbent, I'm going to be doing a show here with Laura Trump in a few days, that the RNC and Scott Pressler and all these organizations work together in state after state to go after, Rich, what you identified. I think you were the first person in the country to identify the no propensity voters. These are your sports watchers. These are your people who would potentially be your people to vote, but nobody's reached out to them yet.
Huge numbers out there, Jack, just massive. And now would be the time, if Republicans were ever going to do it. Now is, I would say, I would really argue this, Jack. This is their last chance to go get them. Donald Trump is not going to be around forever. We have been studying these people for a long time. Even when the primary was still going on and we had all these other Republican candidates, we would ask them, who would motivate you to vote? Who could? Who has the potential? And it was always Trump. Nobody else even registered. So if you're going to get them out, you better do it now. You better put that effort in now and then hope they come over because of Trump, and then you reap the benefits of it later. That's if Republicans were smart, that's what they would prioritize.
It's as simple as that. This is why, by the way, when you look at the motor voter, at the motor voter automatic mandatory push that Josh Shapiro, a Democrat, put in Pennsylvania, yeah. Now all of a sudden, all the people going to renew their driver's licenses in the state of Pennsylvania, wait a minute, they're going Republican. Suddenly yep. It's breaking hard because you can't get out of the touchscreen and you have to register to vote. So think about it. These are people who were not registered to vote prior to this, but right. are of driving age or higher going to, so the people coming in, so that's your youth, and then everyone every 4 years has to, in the state of Pennsylvania, has to get a driver's license renewal. Those are breaking Republican.
Right.
This is bigger than any vote registration that we've seen anywhere in the country, anywhere in the state, and it's breaking Republican with no propensity voters. Stay tuned, be right back. Rich Barris, more.
Jack, where is Jack? Where's Jack? Where is he? Jack, I want to see you. Great job, Jack. Thank you. What a job you do. You know, we have an incredible thing. We're always talking about the fake news and the bad, but we have guys, and these are the guys who should be getting Pulitzers.
All right, Jack, so back live, Human Events Daily, Washington, D.C. Want to go now back to this ABC poll, rolling with Rich Barris, the People's Pundit, and let me make sure I have it here. So they asked this question yet again, ABC News, Ipsos. If Trump is convicted, so remember, if Trump is convicted, and we've said again and again that it's very likely, and President Trump, of course, said himself on this very network that he will be convicted because the jurors are all Democrats. So the ABC Ipsos poll says that among Trump supporters, 80% said they would continue to support him if he was convicted, 16% said they would reconsider, and 4% said they would no longer support him. A 20% swing if he's convicted. Rich, should we believe that?
Yes, I agree with Obama's old pollster, which is that if you are asking people, Republicans, Trump supporters, and 20% are telling you that they would not vote for him because he's a felon, I would say they're either lying to you or you're lying to yourself. I agree with Obama's pollster on this. Let me ask you this, Jack. If Republicans were able to get Biden on something like taking a bribe from China, would he lose 20% of the Democratic Party? He would not. This is the country we live in. It's very unlikely. And I would also point this out. Ipsos is also the poll in 2016. MSNBC touted, Morning Joe did it for 72 hours, that stated that Donald Trump, after the Billy Bush tape, was going to lose 26 or 25%, something like that, almost a quarter of his vote, Republican vote, in the state of Florida to Hillary Clinton. Of course, more Democrats voted for Trump than Republicans who voted for Hillary Clinton in the state of Florida, and he won. In 2020, same thing we heard with he's impeached. He's going to lose all of these votes. Same pollster, by the way. And that did not happen. He lost some, but he did not lose them over impeachment. He lost them because of COVID and the constant boat rocking, with fatigue. We called it the seasick voter. I would say this.
And
I don't like asking this question, Jack. It's a loaded, biased question. And especially if you're going to ask it without reversing the role and saying, what if Biden is impeached for taking a bribe from China? It's a question that voters know the answer, that they know what you think is the right answer. And this would fail a freshman survey design course. OK, I don't understand why people are asking it in this way, in this manner. It's untrustworthy at best. I mean, it could be, and we'll all find out whether or not. But it is not going to be 20%, Jack. I mean, you're talking maybe
it's
the
difference.
It's not
going to be 20%. And actually, Rich, so funny enough, we've got a clip now of President Trump, who was just held in contempt for referencing this very question here on Real America's Voice. We've got the clip. He was on an interview with John Fredericks. He's been held in contempt for this, talking about the jury and the fact that they probably will convict him. Let's go to it.
Well, look, it's always tough when you can't go to your son's graduation. You know, he's a great student and he's a good boy, and you tell him you can't go to his graduation. This judge, who is a totally conflicted person, by the way, totally, he should not be the judge of this case. He's so conflicted that nobody's ever been as conflicted as him, just about. But this judge said that you can't get away from the trial. You know, he's rushing the trial like crazy. Nobody's ever seen a thing go like this. That jury was picked so fast. 95% Democrats. The area is mostly all Democrat. You think of it as just a purely Democrat area. It's a very unfair situation, that I can tell you.
So, Rich, here's what's interesting about that. He wasn't talking about the jury specifically. If you listen to his comments, he's very careful to say that it's a 95% Democrat area. He doesn't say anything specific about the jurors. Now, I get it. Show trials have show outcomes. But it's interesting to me that he's held in contempt over this when, Rich, you've polled New York and you've polled Washington, D.C. Of course, everybody knows this. He's stating a fact. He's simply stating a fact about the jury pool, one that you yourself have come to verify. Isn't that right?
Yeah, and for people who don't know this, we've also, I have countless cases at this point that I've worked on where we help to profile voters and adult, you know, because that's where they get the selection of jurors from, to profile people that are potential jurors to see whether or not they'd be favorable or unfavorable jurors for the client. So as somebody who has done this before, I can tell you some judges like to give you a little bit more time for voir dire. Others like to rush through it. It can be very difficult if they're one of those rushers. This was fast. And then secondly, I will say that this is obvious. It's unbelievable that somebody would be gagged or been held in contempt for saying something that is a demonstrably true statement. This is a jurisdiction that is going to be heavily biased against him. So for the judge to say that he's making a statement that would taint the jury pool is laughable, Jack. Laughable, because of course the jury pool is already tainted. It's tainted against him. And by the way, so is DC. Which they intentionally, they know this. They're not dumb. They know this. And they're trying to get these convictions before they can be thrown out. They're hoping. It is really their Hail Mary, and Alvin Bragg's case is really their best shot to get that label of felon on him so they can see whether or not it sticks and it hurts him. But I would say this, you know, they're going to forget about my own polling. Suffolk University, over 80%. The poll for USA Today, over 80% of independents said, I just don't care. It's politically motivated. I'm not even going to be paying attention. Grinnell College, which is done by Ann Seltzer, overwhelmingly the independent vote said, this is political persecution. He's going to be convicted. I think a lot of this is baked into the cake. In the same way that things were baked into the cake in 16 when they knew things about him, they kind of expected a statement like that. Yeah, it hurt him for 3 days on a response bias, and then it came bounced right back. I think a lot of this really is baked into the cake, Jack. I do. But we'll find out.
Look, I said this. I mean, people can go back and verify. I said this over a year ago when a lot of the DeSantis supporters were telling me that these indictments were going to torpedo Trump's chances at the presidency, chances at a re-election. I said, I have the exact opposite read on it. I think that people are going to view this as politicized. They're going to say they don't like to see the legal system getting involved in politics, and they're not going to like it. And in fact, they are going to turn against it because, and I said, not in a conservative liberal sense, but in the sense of fair play. Think about it. When Americans watch sports, when Americans watch any contest, when they watch the Super Bowl, what's the one thing everybody complains about? The refs. Are the refs being fair? Are the calls fair? The idea of fair play is something that Americans actually of all political stripes agree with.
So
and it's
true.
Something that's fundamentally un-American. And so when they see someone putting their thumb on the scales in a very obvious way, you know, it's funny, Rich, I was over in Eastern Europe, they root for the underdog. And I was over in former, Iron Curtain countries last week. And I was telling these guys, I said, and Trump's under arrest and they arrested him 4 times. And they're like, oh, yes, we are very familiar with this form of politics. We used to have that here. I was like, this is kind of old hat for you guys.
It is. And I played this clip on the show, too, sometime. Mexican President Obrador, and he's like, this happened to me. This is what they do when they don't want you to get elected and they can't beat you at the ballot box. This is what they do. It's sad when third world countries, narco states, cartel run states are looking it over at us, and former Soviet bloc states are looking it over at us and saying, oh, yeah, we all know what's going on there. I mean, That's a sad day, Jack. I mean, honestly, we can joke and we can laugh, but that's a sad day, Jack. It really is, because, you know, I mean, we try to hold ourselves up as the bastion of self-governance, and it's a load. It's a load. Sorry.
Look, but we had Tanya Tay on here the other day, and we were talking about communism, and we just come back from Spain, and we went to the Valley of the Fallen, where the Spanish Civil War was held against the communists. And Tanya Tay was talking about how when she grew up in the Soviet Union, she looked at America as a place you could get to just to achieve your dreams and to actually be able to go ahead without government getting in your way. And she came here and has been very, very successful. And this is something that a lot of people view in terms of America's image in the world, that in just the last 10, 15 years has been totally shifted by what's going on in this country. And if you don't think that putting the former president, who's a leading candidate, on trial in the middle of an election doesn't affect that, you're not paying attention. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Rich Barris, the People's Pundit at Human Events Daily.
Long hours. I'm always listening to Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live, Human Events Daily. I want to thank the audience right now. Thank the live stream. Got to work on a way to make it better for me to interact with the comments here that are going live, because I know on Getter we got the live stream, on Rumble we've got multiple live streams up, and I want to say thank you so much to our live stream viewers, because right now we are currently the number one watched live stream on all of X, on all of Twitter, and right here, today's episode 729. We are right about at the 1 year mark. We'll be at the end of the month, will be the 1 year anniversary of when we took the show live, as opposed to our older format. And what can I say, folks? Thank you so much for your support. And we literally could not be doing this without you supporting us every day and supporting our sponsors. And, you know, you listen to Rich Barris, and what can I say? We've been doing it day in, day out. And, Rich, it feels – dude, wait, Rich, can we just say for a second? I remember, like, 4 or 5 years ago when we started doing these, and we would be getting, like 1,000 views or, like, 500 views on some of the streams. You know, you remember – or even, like, during the 2020 election, and the views were so down – and now pairing up with Real America's Voice, and then really, I got to say, with Rumble taking off, and then with Elon purchasing X and allowing us to free the bird. Plus, I hear in the works that Truth Social will be doing live streaming very soon. The numbers just keep doing better and better. And what can I say? I haven't changed what I say. You haven't changed a word that you've ever said. It's just that we finally are able to actually disintermediate the censorship and the shadow banning that used to go on before.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, when Elon Musk bought X, I had stopped, streaming directly to then Twitter, because it was just getting ridiculous. And then something definitely happened. And I stopped to try to push people over to Rumble and Locals and everything. But, you could definitely tell the difference that it shot up. The live Twitter or what it was, Media Pro is what it was then. Then the views really shot up. I can't wait for Truth to do it too, Jack, because we get a lot of people, you know, from Truth watching on Getter or something like that. I can't wait till they do it, because I already know it's going to be a huge asset. Could already feel it.
And this is key, right? It's that people just want the truth. They want to hear what's actually going on in their country, because it's like these people and this woman I talked to, or that I was reading her, you know, her tweets, and she's saying, oh, I told my friends that the economy is actually doing good, and I presented facts and figures from the administration. And it's like, okay, if you're out there and you're doing the shopping every day or every week, and you're making the Costco runs, and you're going to the gas station to fill up, you feel it. You feel the economy. You feel that something is wrong, and you don't care what the headlines from the government, the Bureau of Labor Statistics says, blah, 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 and CPI is down. No, you know that that's a load. That's a fat load. And suddenly you're going to say, you know what? If I can't change something, with my consumption pattern. Well, they're already going to change their consumption patterns, but they're eventually going to say, you know what? It's time to put this country under not new management, but under the previous management.
Jack, anytime I hear somebody say that, I ask them, were those the initial reports, or are you talking about the second and third revisions? You know, on Friday, we went through all of the second and third revision reports compared against the first initial reports on every month going back to January of 2023. And the fact of the matter is, it is highly suspect that the Bureau of Labor Statistics would repeatedly report jobless or job creation numbers, total non-farm payrolls that are way higher than they actually are every month. That's just not how statistics works. You do not get 12, 14 consecutive months of downward revisions. You do not get back to back initial reports that are strong and over 300,000 only to be revised down to 180. That doesn't happen. Errors and revisions go both ways. They swing both ways. You're not going to have, all of that so consistently revised down, over the 12-month, 13, 14-month rolling periods. That just doesn't happen. And I guarantee you, people like that who think they're reporting administration facts are not reporting the actual true numbers, especially when it comes to total non-farm payrolls. Those numbers are revised. They are abysmal. And they're just awful. Forget about the total numbers themselves, labor force participation, average hourly work weeks, part-time versus full-time, and then, of course, real wage growth, which is nowhere near keeping up with the rise of inflation. And now, inflation, like I said in the segment a couple of segments ago, it's back to being red hot again. Right. I mean, they don't even have that talking point now where they would lie and say inflation is falling. It wasn't falling. It was rising at a slower rate, but it was still rising.
Yes. Right?
This lie is falling. Inflation was down this month. No, it was up. It was just
the sky has stopped falling. Rate. Actually, the sky is still falling. It's just falling at a slower rate than it previously was.
Right.
Right. But prices aren't down and wages aren't up. If prices aren't down and wages aren't up, people are going to be looking around saying, I need to do something with my government. And if you're at the lower end, I think the conversation is over. And if you're at the upper end, that's even the theme of today's show. This is, and Rich, let me give the last minute to you, because the theme of today's show isn't about the lower end, the working class and working class families out there, because I think the conversation's done. I think that people even at the upper end are starting to have those conversations.
Yeah. Yeah, I will say, I'll give the last word actually to William Shipley, the attorney. He was looking at her polling results, and I saw him comment on social media, and he said, you know, it was the Trump voters thing. I can't afford eggs and milk and right. And now it's getting to be a certain income group that says, hey, it's costing me too much to fill up my Mercedes, you know, so that really is a good way to put it. So eventually it trickles up, you know, and it cannot persist like this forever without him losing, you know, even if it's marginal, losing a certain group that, you know, they were able to rely on before. Economic pain is like that.
It's costing me too much to fill up my Mercedes because it's costing everybody too much. By the way, I had one of those stupid eco cars over in Europe the other day. Oh, my gosh. I couldn't get back faster. That shuts off at the red lights and you got to like pump the thing to make it go.
Awful.
It was awful. And I was like, it was Alfa Romeo. I thought it was like, oh, cool, get a nice Italian car. No, terrible, terrible. Rich, where can people follow you, man?
The best place is always, Jack, is on Locals. peoplespundit.locals.com. Go check us out over there, brother. Thanks for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, as always, you have my permission to lay ashore.
Tell a story of secrets and a mystery. The hidden tales of the communist history.